Hey, fellow adventurers, Tyrone here. Just a reminder, if you can, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this episode of Modus Critica. It really helps us get the word out. Thank you so much for your continued support and enjoy the episode.
Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised.
Last time on Modus Critica. Our party tirelessly fought their way through Fluffy Bum Farms, but were too late to save Cornelius's parents. Knowing full well that the Fomorians now side with the Shadar Kai, our party escaped the Eastern Forest and laid the Fluffy Bums to rest.
To the 16th episode of Modus Critica, an actual play 5th edition D&D podcast. We are 666, the number of the beast, and we're looking to roll play, roll dice, and roll heads. Those six people are...
Hi, I'm Kyle. I'll be playing Darius Adolfo, Church of Mercule, bringer of darkness, holy destruction shit. From his fingertips, and soon...
Hi, touches. I am Eric, and I play Cornelius Fluffybum, the orphan druid Herengon. I am pretty fucking sad. Hail Satan.
Sid here, playing Gord Godhand, the paladin barbarian of the group. Yeah, he's hoping that doesn't happen to his family. But
wop wop on all.
Oh my. Okay, hello. This is Caitlin. I play Torque Tortellini, who is a anxious turtle monk, and he is really excited to just get out there and maybe, I don't know, murder somebody's parents. We'll see what happens.
This is the sight of my dead parents lying on the ground, burnt and dead, holding each other, make you want to go out and murder other parents in rage?
No, he's actually, he has compassion. I'm a nice person in real life.
Torque Tortellini, orphan maker.
The orphanator.
Oh, no.
Hey, I'm Zach. I play Nevlin Thrice Great, gnome illusionist. Interesting fact, canonically, one of the few D&D characters whose parents are still alive.
Hey!
Yeah, there not for long. Just you watch yourself.
Yeah.
Actually, Nevlin, you better keep that to yourself.
Just give us like 3 episodes.
And my name is Tyrone, and I will be your dungeon master, the killer of character parents.
The facilitator.
KCP.
You're an accomplice.
Last session, you guys went to go visit Cornelius's homeland.
Beautiful place.
It's a very beautiful place in the Eastern Forest that is east of Evernight. And you guys found that a bunch of Fomorians... Oh, you also fought a black dragon.
Yeah.
But you did find that a bunch of Fomorians and Shadar Kai were raiding your parents' farm, and your parents lay lifeless on the ground, and they both did unfortunately die. You buried them, and that's basically where the episode ended. So...
Tears fall from Cornelius's eyes as our heroes stand battered, tired, and disheveled, each offering a moment of silence to their beloved companion and those he's lost. The last ray of radiant light trickles away as the red sun sinks deep below the horizon, darkness making its way over the fields of the wild as the chatter of the corrupted creatures can be heard off in the distance. Back turned to the party, Cornelius stands brighter and with purpose, though given the circumstances, one would assume the opposite. Clenching his fist, the young Herengon turns quickly to face his counterparts, and with damp fur under his eyes, he presses his lips together tightly and nods, ready to face oblivion.
What are you guys doing?
40 seconds before I drop to my knees and I yell,
Seraphim. You guys remember when Cornelius dropped to his knees and yelled Seraphim just a while ago? That was magnificent.
Yeah, sorry, I lost it there.
Okay, remind me never to push the narrative again.
No.
No, we'll bring it back ourselves if we have to.
What time of day is it right now?
It's probably like 10 p.m.
That's the middle of the night for me these days, boys. I just can't stay up like I used to, you know?
Yeah, you're pretty old.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to tell all my siblings about this.
Cornelius, you say that your siblings are here?
Well, they're around. I've got 17 siblings.
That's a lot of siblings.
Well, you know, fucking like bunnies.
Where are they? Because I don't want to head to another place that looked just like that 17 more times.
No, I think most of them are in Faerun, so.
17 side quests.
Ty's like, fuck!
Hey, Cornelius, I just wanted to let you know that, I know that you like smoking your pipe and stuff, so I just wanted to offer that if you want to have a smoke of my pipe of remembrance, I thought it might be nice because you get to see your most impressive and heroic achievements, and I thought that, you know, you really like your family, and maybe that's a pretty impressive achievement, and if you want to just sit and see your family while in the smoke. And here you go if you want to smoke it.
I take a haul. Big haul.
All right, roll me an intelligence check.
That's a natural one. For fucking first roll of the night. And you know what's even worse is when I looked over at the tray, my d20 was sitting with 20 up.
You know, this is what happens here. The Pipe of Remembrance, actually, it does it automatically, so you wouldn't fail in having a remembered vision through the smoke, but as you exhale the smoke, this beautiful vision of your mother tucking you into bed when you were a young little wee herringon kind of starts to make itself known in the smoke, and everybody kind of smiles and goes, "Aww." And just as that happens, you cough on the smoke, and then the whole thing just kind of fiddles away, and the smoke disperses, and you lose the memory.
No, I feel like I made this worse now.
No, I didn't, like, lose the memory. We lost the memory in the smoke.
The smoke just dissipates, and there's no more memory in the smoke.
Torque, that was a truly, briefly beautiful moment. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was really good. Here, Cornelius passed that over to me.
Oh, I think your achievements are going to be very different.
I want to see this, actually.
Are we all taking a haul?
Oh, no, I'm just keeping it for safekeeping so that Torque doesn't smoke it anymore.
That's not...
Oh, Gord, come on.
Torque, you'll get it back at the end of the day. I just want to see that you can live without it.
But I've only tried it once.
Is this a test of Torque's resolve?
Yeah, more like a narc instead of an orc, hey?
You got that right, Cornelius.
I don't really know what a narc is, but I agree.
All right, fine. You guys do what you want.
I won't let her smoke too much.
Well, it's pretty good shit, so, I mean, you don't need a whole lot.
Maybe we would have seen those wizards you've been going around killing, Gord.
It says of your proudest, most glorious moments. There's too many of those to remember. Yeah, I bet.
That's very self-serving. No. Good job, Gord.
All right, so do you guys are going to head back to Senelis, or...
I think we're having a fight.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to split the party, it sounds like.
That's right. We all are very injured and tired.
We're going
to
do our own podcast.
Yeah, you got pretty messed up in
are
that last fight for
rest?
Sure. You could rest here or you could go back to Senelis. You could make it there by, I don't know, I'd have to roll for it, but you'd make it there sometime in the night and then you could sleep.
Actually, if I remember correctly, we were so banged up that probably make more sense just to sleep now and make our way out in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm bleeding an awful lot.
You guys should probably rest up. You did real bad back there, so I'll tell you what, I'll keep watch for the night. You guys get your sleep.
Oh, that's right. You're doing just fine, aren't you, Nevlin? You look well.
I'm doing good as ever there, Dario.
Okay, I'm just going to make a couple rolls here.
I'm going to go to sleep.
Torque lays down and curls up into his little shell.
Sick.
You set up a fire. Nevlin sits by the fire while the rest of you all leave the fire, trickle off into bed, and through the night, it remains overcast. There's smoke in the sky. As you arise, It's still overcast, but you guys have all gained a level. You are now level 5.
I can finally make my trailer level. Woo. Oh, you mean like, oh, I thought you meant like a level.
A trailer level?
Oh, get out of here.
So with the level up, we'll go through everyone. Just give us a quick rundown of what you got at level 5. So let's start with Nevlin.
Nevlin gained a few hit points. Not a ton, really, but I can cast third level spells now. So I took Fireball and Major Image.
Dope.
That's it.
Wicked. All right. Torque?
Torque gained maximum hit points and can now afford to kill 2 sets of parents because he can attack 4 times if he really wanted to per round.
Nice.
Callback.
I thought so, yeah.
Gord?
Gord gained a feat, which was Pull Arm Master, so now he can attack on a bonus action and provoke opportunity attacks when enemies are in his threat range.
Beautiful. Dario?
So Dario got just a few more HP. It was kind of low on the spectrum, so 2 plus 3. So I got 40 HP, which is decent for a level 5 cleric, but, you know, could have been better. Who knows? As well as third level spells. Hey, I got Life Transference and Spirit Guardians.
Beautiful.
And then, of course, yeah, the proficiency increase. That makes everything better.
Dope. Cornelius?
Yeah, I, because of my Wildfire Circle, I got a couple of new spells, Plant Growth and Revivify.
If we had only showed up like 10 minutes earlier, maybe, and I'd leveled up beforehand, maybe I could have brought my parents back, but nope.
Anyways, and yeah.
Whatever, dude, you got a giant mountable goat.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, yeah, you have a goat.
And Goldbloom.
What's the goat's name?
Pater. So that's about it for me. I mean, level 5, fuck yeah.
Nice. Sweet. And for those of you Spud fans, if you want to know, truly, he got second level ranger magic. I think he took healing spirit and searing smite, and he also got an extra attack, so he just became a little bit more mushroomy.
Tyrone, how did you level up?
I have not leveled up yet. I'm still a level 1 commoner. I think I have about 4 hit points. No skills, but I do have
That's
this...
That's not how I would describe you.
I have this club
yeah,
that does 1d4 damage, so I could kill another commoner with my club in one hit, but... Jesus, okay.
It's an improvised weapon, though, so he has disadvantage.
He'd do it, too. I grew up with him.
Okay, so it is overcast as you guys walk back. It's a gloomy day. So as you guys make it back to Senelis, you head up the lift. There's no one to greet you there, as they did not know when you were going to return, but you get there and you guys all make your way to the guest house, and shortly thereafter your arrival, Vestibule walks in and he says,
it's good to see you back. The Queen would love to see you as soon as you're ready. Please come to the Court of Stars when you are.
And he steps back and turns around and walks back away.
Yeah, might as well just go now, eh?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys walk down the path around the corner and into the Court of Stars chamber. And as you enter the chamber, the Queen is awaiting your arrival with a heightened anxiety. She looks up at you and she says,
"It's so good to see you all. What of your parents and your homelands, Cornelius? What of the Eastern Forest?"
Don't ask him about that.
Doing like the cut motion with the neck.
Oh, don't. Yeah, that's kind of literal.
They didn't make it.
Oh, my dear boy, please accept my condolences. There is nothing more hard than to accept the loss of a loved one. I am so sorry for that loss.
Yeah, we buried their character sheets near the edge of the forest.
May your family live on through the mother.
Thank you.
It is, however, with great regret that I must change the subject to the task at hand. The autumn city of Mithrendane, as we already know, has come under siege by the Fomorians by way of the sealed tunnel in the citadel there. Though we have found another entrance for you, unknown to the Fomorians, you will have to traverse the active war zone within the city to reach said entrance. As the Autumn Valley and the city of Mithrendane is self-governing, the Court of Stars' presence is not entirely welcome, even on the brightest of days. It would be unwise to make your purpose known, but I fear that given the raging battle, they may not just let wanderers through. That said, I believe this letter with my seal may be the better alternative. The Council of Mithrendane may not welcome our rule. They are more likely to let you pass unharmed and unquestioned with such a document. Do you have any questions thus far?
Just give them the letter. Don't let them know we're going underground, and let them pass us through.
Yes.
I guess ideally we'd want to maybe sneak in, not seen at all.
Yes, we've done something for you in that respect. So after you make your way through the forest and into the valley proper, you will pass through the Bronze Glade and down to Ithazar's River, where you can see clear the majestic citadel Arcanum. From there, you must travel northeast, and you will eventually reach the city gates of Mithrendane. From the citadel, head further north through the outskirts, and you will come to the Autumn Ridge. We have prepared an entrance there and hidden it under some thick brush behind the Boulder of Strength between the golden trees of Valor. The spot should be obvious enough, however. The tunnel would be hard to find if you weren't looking for it.
Okay. Oh, well, it's a good thing we're looking for it, I guess.
Yeah.
Precisely.
And then we get into the tunnel, and is it... I'm not really asking for myself, because I myself am very, very brave, but some of my compatriots are a little less brave than I. Is it scary down there?
Dear Tortle, of course it's scary. It's very scary.
Okay, great.
As I stated previously, we once held a peace treaty with Clan Grenith, the Drow of the Faedark. Though we haven't word from them in many years, we only hope that they still honor the treaty. If so, their leader, Darian, may be of service in navigating the desolate caverns of the dark, and this entrance should place you near their settlement.
Okay, and then if the treaty just doesn't exist anymore, then we just kill them all, right?
I hope it does not come to that.
Yeah, that's a little drastic.
Let's try and make more friends. Now, I have a question. The clan of the Drow, are they in any relation working with the Fomorans? Because we, I think, ended up in an altercation with them with some Shadar Kai.
The Drow of the Faedark went to war with the Fomorians just as we did hundreds of years ago.
So that still continues?
The Drow hide in the shadow. The Fomorians have well greater numbers than the Drow. But with the corruption spreading and the Fomorians gaining unwanted momentum, it is with utmost importance that you recover the stone as soon as possible so that the tunnels may be sealed again and some resemblance of peace may be restored. Above all else, you must tell no one of your true purpose, lest other parties become involved and our chance to secure the stone slips away.
Okay, and then, so where does the tunnel come out? Where does it take us?
That I do not know.
Oh.
So, I mean, Spud, you're going to be the one who's on point for this then, right? You're going to guide us down there?
Well, you know, he doesn't know where we're going.
You know, I don't know about if you do this, but I've taken several online courses about the Underdark. I mean, the Faedark. No, I mean, I've put a lot of time and mental resources into studying the Faedark, and I have a very, very good idea of what we're looking at down there.
All right, well...
That is because, for Natural Explorer, the preferred terrain is the Underdark, but the equivalent of the Underdark in this world is the Faedark, so...
Well, Damon, I will trust you to guide us and lead us to where we need to go.
Yeah, babe.
I won't.
Cornelius will be able to back him up, too, right? I mean, you know these lands on the surface. Do you understand the underground as well?
Yes, as a Herengon... Dario, I do, in fact, understand underground. I live in a den underground.
Of course. I didn't want to assume. I mean, I know about real rabbits and bunnies in Faerun, but, you know, you're a much bigger, larger...
Are you saying that I'm not real?
No, you're real. You're as real as you are right in front of me right now. You just, you know, you look
humanoid. Aren't real anymore.
I guess. I don't know. I didn't want to assume.
All right, we're getting off topic here.
Okay.
Let's get back to the task at hand. Take this letter. Head to the city. Try and sneak in if we can. Get to the Faedark. Head to find the stone. Maybe look for help, but never ask anyone or tell anyone what we're doing. I like it.
Except this Darian fella. I think we can let him know what we're up to over there, I believe.
If the cities are still standing, they were, at least... In the books when I was a child, the cities of Vor Thomil and Magturia.
Magturok.
Vorfamil and Meg Tura. Sorry, I was drinking a beverage there for a moment.
All right.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm just about as ready as I'll ever be.
Do you perhaps have any supplies before we leave? Healing potions, anything that we might be able to bring, or anything that we might be able to use to help the people in Mithrandale. Mithrandale.
Yes, see, it's very challenging to say.
I gotta be honest, I'm all teeth in this mouth.
Yes. I would say that aside from my blessings, please visit the court's kitchen before you go. They have prepared a special feast for your departure. I also have set up for Aldis to come by.
Sorry. Oh, okay, lady, queen lady, your blessings are really nice and I am quite hungry, but I think that maybe you guys, I could pick up my moon sword, because it's been a little while now, and I'll be real fast, I really promise. I just paid a lot of money for it, and it's going to look really cool, so maybe I could just run and do that real quick.
Do what thou wilt, Torque.
Yeah, I'll come with.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Okay, you guys go over to Naish's Blades, and you walk in and you
forgot who I ordered this from.
You see Nine, he's like, oh, it's a turtle is back. It's a turtle.
Yeah.
I have a very nice present for you. Do you want it?
I just came in to get that sword that you were going to make for me, but if you got
a surprise! And he's holding the sword in front of you.
Oh, damn it. Oh, wow, that's the sword, huh?
Yeah. In the darkness, when you unsheath the blade, the sword sheds moonlight, creating a bright light in the 15-foot radius and dim light for an additional 15. Just lights up, like the moon.
Oh, boy. Nah, could you, like, hit the lights? Could you just turn off the lights for a second?
And he snaps his fingers and the lights go out.
Whoa,
but there's still daylight shining in from the windows, and he's like, oh, damn.
Nah, can you just, like, take it out of the... Can you unsheath it?
Yeah, he pulls it out, he unsheaths it, like, a little bit, and you see the, like, the light of the moon shining off of the sword. Still in, like, the dark of the store, but then he claps his hand and the light goes back on. And he gives you the sword.
Oh, man, my friends are gonna think I am so cool. Thanks. I really appreciate it, man. This is pretty nifty. Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome.
I'm gonna leave you a real good review, okay?
Yes, 5 stars.
Yeah, well, I get to decide. I actually get to decide the stars, but it will be 5. Thank you. It's a pleasure doing business with you. And Torque leaves.
Please come back. And he goes back to work with his sister in the back. And yeah, you now have your sword. So do you guys head to the kitchen before taking off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you guys walk into the kitchen and the maitre d' is there waiting for you. And he looks at you all and nods and motions you to come with him, and he walks you through a set of doors, really fine wooden doors, and into a dining room with a large table, and you guys all sit down, and there is a hero's feast around the table, and you guys can dig in.
Nom 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 nom
nom nom nom.
I've never heard Dario eat before.
So the great feast includes magnificent food and drink. It takes 1 hour for you guys to consume, and it disappears after the end of the time. The magical beneficial effects don't set in until this hour is over. Up to 12 creatures, so you guys are all good, can partake in the feast. Creature that partakes in the feast gains several benefits. The creature is cured of all diseases and poison, becomes immune to poison and being frightened. So you guys are immune to poison and being frightened, and you make all wisdom saving throws with advantage. Your hit point maximum also increases by 2d10, and it gains the same number of hit points. So you guys can all roll 2d10 for me and write that number down on your character sheet, and then remember also you are immune to poison and being frightened.
So that was an additional 8 for Cornelius.
And it's just 2d10?
2d10, yeah.
It's an additional 8 for me as well.
A plus 10 for Torque.
Plus 13 for Nevlin.
Yeah, so that lasts for 24 hours.
And we're really full.
And you're really full.
And we had great tableside manners and discussion.
Conversation.
Yeah, you guys kind of discussed your plan for heading forward.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm full. Oh, and it was so delicious.
You guys are finishing up your feast, and all of a sudden, the Maitre D walks through the door and holds his hand out, and he's like, Aldous the Magnificent. And Aldous fucking comes through with this bang of lightning as he, like, walks through the door, and he's like, hello, adventurers!
Hiya, hello. Aldous. How are you?
Oh, I am wonderful. It's great to be here.
It is great for you to be here.
I have brought my case of many things.
And he claps his hands, and this big sort of like wicker basket just poofs into existence. He's like, me and Codex have packed this ourselves. And he opens it up, and it's full of potions and all kinds of...
Oh, thanks for the gift, Aldous. Things.
No, you'll still be paying for this, but the Queen has decided to add some sort of...
discount.
Subsidy, yes, discount, so to speak. So everything will be 50% off.
Damn.
Kind of like a BOGO event.
What can I get for you?
Well, Aldous, I'm looking for a magical bag that can hold many things. I think it's a bag of holding.
Yes, I have one of those right here.
I have this potion of water breathing. There could be a situation where I need to breathe underwater, but I don't think it's going to happen soon, so I'd like to sell this.
I will absolutely take that off your hands for maybe 250 gold pieces.
That sounds fantastic. I'll take it. And how much is the bag of holding?
Why don't you throw in 100 gold pieces?
Yes.
And we'll call it an almost straight trade.
That's very agreeable to me, yes. So 250, another 100 of mine is for 350.
What?
That's 350 gold pieces, yes?
No, I give you 250 for your potion.
Yes.
And then you give me 100 of that 250, and I give you the bag of holding.
So... I get the bag of holding and 150 gold pieces.
But I take your potion. You take the bag.
That is terrific.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Anyone else?
Can I have a 100 gold piece bag of holding as well?
That was my last one. I'm sorry.
Ah, God damn it. I'll settle on a few of your potions there. Give me three that'll heal me up.
And he tosses 1, 2, 3 up in the air, and you catch him. 1, 2, 3.
I just want two of those for me, too.
And he does the same to you, tosses two more potions.
Yeah, I'll take two.
Pulls out two more.
Yeah, I'll need two potions. I'm going to need 50 feet of hemp and rope. I'm going to need some caltrops, a couple of flasks, and you got any 10-foot poles?
Slow down! And he's pulling all of this shit out, like, just, like, in his bag of holding, and he's just pulling all of this stuff out for you.
Oh, you do have another bag of holding.
No, it's mine. This is my box. This is my wicker basket of holding.
You guys all toss him the gold. You guys take your items. And he claps his hand, and he poofs out of existence with his wicker basket of holding.
Okay, well, bye. Bye.
He's gone.
So you guys now full of potions and some others more. You guys are ready to take off. Are you ready to take off?
Are you asking the listener?
Yes. Listener, yeah. Are you ready to take off? So, as you guys are leaving,
a mass of people gather in the city center awaiting the departure of the rising heroes of Senelis. As you walk out of the guest house, you are showered with flowers and food offerings for your journey. People cheer as you approach the lift, where Queen Teandra and Sir Randrick Vestibule stand almost at attention.
Nevlin's stuffing food into his robes as he walks along the road, picking it up off the ground.
I'll take like an apple or something and be like, oh.
Smiling for the masses, the Queen and Vestibule both bow to you, and the Queen offers you each a brooch. While pinning them on, she says,
may Oran's light guide you when you're surrounded with darkness. These brooches will light your way. Just speak the word Anor, and the light of the sun will shine. Travel safely, my dears, and travel with haste.
Hell yeah, now we're a fucking fellowship.
Oh man, I just got a moon sword.
The Queen hugs each of you as Vestibule works his way down the line with hero's handshakes. Spud stands tall as he receives the ladder, and Vestibule throws him a smile and a wink as the lever is pulled and the lift descends down to the forest floor. So, given the ever-changing terrain of the Feywild and or Shadowfey, I'm going to roll for how many hours this is going to take you guys
Okay.
to get to forest. So it's going to take you guys 6 hours to make your way out the forest, across the rolling hills, and to the autumn forest. So you guys head out on your way out of the forest of the mother, careful to avoid any of the corrupted areas. And
as the rolling hills of the Shadow Fae come to a flat, a large thick forest stands before you in beautiful reds, oranges, and yellows. The leaves on the trees look as though they are about to fall with autumn near, but never do. A golden light shimmers as the sun dances off the leaves and a cool breeze brings fresh air into the lungs. As you approach the forest, the sounds of battle fade in and out the closer you get. The clanging of steel and the screams of the dying echo and rush quickly through the breeze, disappearing with the wind. Plumes of smoke rise out from what you can only assume would be the city of Mithrendane. As you come within a few hundred feet of the forest line, you begin to see in between the trees and notice a massive wooden barricade standing about 60 feet in, when your thoughts are interrupted by an arrow plummeting from the sky and landing in the ground just feet in front of where you stand.
Halt! Thou shalt move no further. What is thy name and thy purpose in the Autumn Valley? With whom do your allegiances lay?
We have a letter from the Queen. We need access and entrance.
Okay, so as you yell that out, he comes round the barricade and comes towards you. He walks up to you. He's clearly some sort of guard captain, and he comes directly towards you, and he's like,
the Queen, ye say? Well, I didn't vote for a queen. Thine wares in no way suggest royalty. One might say thou art dirty scoundrels, nay?
Hey, we ain't no dirty scoundrels.
Yeah, I'm no scoundrel.
Far from it.
But alas, thine seal states otherwise. I know this seal. I know it to be legitimate. But it is very interesting the queen sending an entourage this way.
Well, we're not going to tell you why, so don't even ask us. It's our business.
Actually, the queen sent us to help you in your guys' need for the city.
We do not need the help of the queen.
She understands that, but she thought that bringing us into the foray might tempt a battle or two's tide.
Either way, I would suggest keeping thine head down whilst traveling through Mithrendane once you arrive. Our city doth thrive on democracy and does not bend the knee to any monarch. Some might not be understanding of thine presence here. Travel with haste.
And he steps aside and lets you guys go. As you guys walk a little bit further, he turns around and he's like,
wait.
And he looks at you all and he's like,
through the wood, you would come to the Autumn Valley, which leads to the Bronze Glade. You would be wise to move quickly, as thine life may depend on it. Once you reach Mithrendane, you will see the city gates, which have been destroyed in battles of late. Here you will see another barricade near the citadel. It would be well wise not to near it. Others may not be as kind and inviting as I have been. Thou would be best fit to know that thine enemy lay hidden within the city.
Could you perhaps send us ahead with some kind of token of proof of our...
Yeah, give us a letter that works this time.
Perhaps you have a stamp or something.
I do not.
Or a special brooch for all of us.
That's going a little bit far, Cornelius.
Is it, though? Is it?
Now, be gone.
Maybe you have an
escort gone.
That can...
Oh, be okay. Gone.
Come on, guys.
Okay, let's just
this
go.
Guy's got nothing for us. Let's get out of here.
I don't want to listen to his voice anymore anyway.
Yeah, me neither, Tork. Goddamn NPCs.
Yeah, me neither, Tork.
Fucking NPCs.
Love it.
As you move further through the autumn forest, the breeze begins to chill as you move lower into the valley, which seems to be untouched by the corruption. The beautiful golden colors continue to shimmer as the light peeks through the thick trees, and the ground begins to harden, but the forest soon opens up into a marvelous glade. The ground glows with a copper brilliance as the bronze stone embedded in the hard earth refracts the sunlight. Surrounded on all sides by the valley, those in the lower ground would surely perish in battle here. As you pass quickly down through the glade, you near Ithazar's River, still as the night but ever moving. An old bridge sits over the widest point of the river, and as your eyes raise past, you can see one of the most beautiful treasures of the wild. The Citadel Arcanum stands tall and majestic against the autumn backdrop of the metropolis city of Mithrendane, the city built of earth and wood. The wood seems to have been beautifully warped by time itself and the ever-changing elements of the Fae. At ground level, the citadel stands proud, while the city rushes high toward the heaven behind it, completely surrounded by the autumn trees therein. As suspected, you approach the once beautifully constructed city gates, destroyed and torn asunder, left in heaps of wood and stone. The citadel looks duller than viewed from Ithazar's river, as much of it is covered in soot and ash. The massive doors to the citadel have also been torn from hinge and lay across the landing at the top of the stairs leading into the structure. A small garrison of soldiers sit behind two large barricades in front of the citadel, similar to the one at the entrance to the Autumn Forest. Two large tents are set up on each side, and soldiers can be seen heading in and out. At the moment, the calm suggests a battle won, and a lull in the pushback from the Fomorians. A frail old sign reads Citadel Arcanum, and below it, Autumn Ridge, with an arrow pointing to the north.
So how would you guys like to proceed?
Probably to the north.
Yeah, we gotta go to the Autumn Ridge, right? We can't be seen by these guys.
Yeah, let's rock the ridge.
Should we make a stealth?
If you would like to travel in stealth, absolutely. You guys can do a group stealth.
Yes, I think so. This might be the best, because
there's a lot of, like, war-torn areas just outside the Citadel. They got pushed out, and then they fought back in or something like that?
Yeah, or dead. You know, like, they're battling at the Citadel pretty hard, because that's where they're coming out of, and some of them get through, and some of them get by.
So there's, like, fresh carnage. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, like, you can tell, like, it's been touched by war very recently. They all look pretty exhausted, and some of them are, like, eating food and rations and stuff like that. And then there's obviously guys going in and out of the tents and resting.
Corpses are, like, in the very early stages of decomp.
I'd recommend that if we meet anybody on the road, we don't make any attention to ourselves, considering that we might have to fight friend and foe.
What is our general story that we work with here?
Yeah, and not the true one, like a lie.
Yes, are we mercenaries sent by the queen, or do we say, oh, by somebody else?
I whip open my cloak and say, we are cheese salespeople.
I like this cover. I think we can go with this. Bodyguards.
I could be a pretty good salesman.
Yeah, we are protecting him on his way.
I managed to grab some unscathed cheese at the farm before we left.
You know what? We could be merchants with bodyguards. I mean, Cornelius, Nevlin, you have goods to sell. Dario, you have miracles to perform.
I
Tork
do.
Tork and I, we are the muscle, and we are just passing through, trying to get our goods to the next city to try and help the cause, whatever cause it is.
I haven't looked behind us in a while, but are the mules with us?
No.
Yeah, I guess you guys didn't bring them. You didn't mention it. I didn't think
we
about
just
it.
Keep leaving them.
Yeah, they're just like the chilling in Saint Elise. They're
we're racking
that's
up. A good
they're very happy in Saint Elise.
Yeah. It's really safer there for them.
This is no country for old mules.
Actually, Dork, you're doing quite well without Oscar.
Yeah, well, I'm just learning to channel my anxiety in other ways, and, yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay, well, anyways. So, we are officials. Gord and Dork, you are guilds, guards, the muscle.
So, Dario's gonna be the jester? Is that...
No, I have, like, an alms box and some vestments and things. I can perform miracles. I can do this.
Oh, okay. Huh? Mercule.
Nevlin, you okay with this plan?
Mercule stuff, yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm all right with it there. I've been practicing for this one.
All right.
Some might even say it's a scam.
Fantastic.
Shall we go ahead with our scammy plan?
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, so should we roll for stealth?
Yeah, if you guys want to roll a group stealth check.
I rolled a 2.
Gord rolled a 7.
Okay.
Torque is a 6 in total.
That'll be a 17 for Cornelius.
And Nevlin?
21.
What about Spud?
Damn it.
He rolled a 3.
Oh, shit.
He's one of us.
But he's got lots of decks, so that's actually it's an 8.
Good thing we have a cover story.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we're talking about our cover story, they come over and go, hey, what are you guys talking about?
What are you doing out here?
Welcome to our shop.
The truth.
As you guys pass the Citadel, they don't notice you. They are not concerned about anything past behind them anyway. They are focused solely on the Citadel. The people that are going in and out of the tents are also more concerned with themselves than anyone passing by. So you guys make it by without question there. You follow the sign, so...
As you follow the path past the Citadel Arcanum, it guides you along a ridge that grows higher from the ground below with each step. Around the bend, the ridge widens into a large open space where two large golden trees stand side by side with a large boulder between them.
Can everybody please roll me a perception check?
25 for Cornelius.
That was so cute.
I got a 22.
I got a 25.
Wow.
You got a 19. Jesus.
Very perceptive brew.
Yeah.
I got an 8.
I rolled a 19.
Yeah, I rolled an 18.
Nevelyn?
8.
Oh, okay. So, Nevelyn's just, like, hyper-stoked on...
He's thinking about all his scams.
Yeah, he's thinking about the back of the old days.
God, I hope someone comes over here and asks me what we're all doing here. I'm so ready.
Everybody else, you notice four Fomorian soldiers hiding behind a thicket, scoping out the golden trees, and all holding great axes, practically drooling over the shimmering trees.
I really thought you were going to say golden retrievers.
So, in a hushed tone, Nevelyn says to the group, "Hey, what do you think these guys are doing? Think they're gonna cut those trees down?"
Oh, Nevelyn doesn't notice these guys.
Oh, fuck, you're right. Okay. Time out, delete, time in. Man, editing's easy.
It kind of looks like maybe those guys want to cut those trees down, maybe.
Nevelyn, look over there. There's some guys behind that thicket.
So, do you want to interact, or should we stealth our way through still?
I think we should kill them.
Well, maybe if they are amiable...
I want to kill them.
If they're amiable to talking to us, maybe one of us goes out, makes a distraction. Maybe
no talking, run in. Only blood.
So I've been thinking, guys, we should all have other names. So if anyone asks us who we are and what we're doing, I'm going to be George.
Hey, Devlin. Yeah, okay. Sorry, who are you going to be?
Oh, hey, what's that? Wait, there's some Fomorians over there.
I can go over there, and I can be a poor, helpless child, and I'll see if they're nice to me or not.
I don't think they're going to be nice, Torek. Why don't we either create a distraction or try and sneak behind them?
And slit their throats.
Yeah. I just hope we don't run into four more Fomorians.
You mean four more of them?
You never know when there might be four more ferocious Fomorians.
Oh.
Four more Fomorian warriors.
Four more Fomorian foes. Four more ferocious Fomorians.
This is a rabbit hole we don't need to go down.
Okay. At this point, have they noticed us yet?
Actually, you know what? I'm just going to take a look at their passive perception. Because you guys have been talking an awful lot.
We were talking in hushed
whispered
tones.
Dude, we rolled 11.
You guys rolled an 11 on your group stealth check. So.
Oh, like forever ago. Those weren't even the Fomorians.
You feel like you're being
quiet.
Their
passive perception is...
62.
And they don't have... So they don't have a very... No, actually, you know what? No, they don't have any wisdom, so...
Nice.
Well, let's sneak up on them. Let's get the jump on them.
Yeah, you want to do that? And I'm going to get you all to roll initiative. And then you guys can have a surprise round.
All right, I'm going to stealth.
All right, Gord got a 9.
I rolled a natural 1.
Oh.
That's no good.
Torque rolled a 13.
Cornelius got 21.
I think you evened us out.
Yeah, that was an 8 for Nevelyn, even with his advantage.
Spud got a 19. Okay, so first up in the surprise round is going to be Cornelius.
So they don't see us.
They do not see you.
I'm actually just going to ready an action. I'm going to cast Ice Knife. Actually, do you think I could cast at them right now?
Yeah, you absolutely could.
Just their AC's gone up.
Yeah, so they are at half cover, so they will have a +2 bonus to their AC and a +2 to their dexterity saving throws.
You know what? I'm just going to ready the action. The trigger will be when at least two of them come around the other side, if they do, of that thicket.
You're going to fire Ice Shard at them?
Yeah.
Ice Shard.
An ice shard.
Okay, then it's going to be Spud, and Spud is going to run northwest towards the Fomorians, towards the thicket, and he's going to cast Searing Smite on himself and ready both of his short swords and draw them out as he does, slashing them together, summoning Jarvan's Drake.
Nice.
As he runs forward, and that's going to be his turn. So Jarlin is going to go directly after his turn, and she is going to move forward 40 feet towards the thicket as well. Next on the list is going to be Torque.
So Torque is going to run his full movement, never eat shredded wheat, west, into the trees.
Okay.
The trees, like, there's a lot of shadows and stuff. That's a shady tree, right?
Yeah, you could find some shadows for sure.
Okay, great. So he's in amongst the shadows of the trees, and he's going to hide in the shadows. And so he's just kind of almost due south of these four Fomorians, and he's going to pull out his crossbow, and he's going to attempt to shoot from the shadows at these Fomorians with his crossbow.
Which one? The one closest to you?
The one closest to him. So he's okay. Going to burn a key point doing that with his sick new tattoo. That's what is allowing him to hide in the shadows. And you still don't even know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? Can you tell us yet?
Yeah. Well, okay, so Torque is a monk, as we all know. And so the story of the lotus is a really important metaphor in kind of Eastern philosophy, and how the lotus, this beautiful, beautiful flower, grows from the murkiest, dirtiest, marshiest depths of mud. So he decided to get mud tattooed on him. Not a lotus, yeah. But a splotch of mud.
The mud of the lotus.
And the reason you guys haven't noticed that he's got a sick new tat is because it's on the back of his calf, and it's a splotch of brown mud, so it just looks like mud on the back of his leg.
Well, that's amazing. Okay, so roll the hit at advantage.
So the first one is a 12 plus 8, so a dirty 20.
Yep.
And then the second one is like a 13 or something like that.
The first one definitely hits.
Bitchin'. So that's going to be 10 damage with his crossbow.
Yeah, you fire this bolt out of the shadows. They don't see it coming. And this bolt just smashes into his shoulder. I should say, like, it flips into his shoulder.
Yeah.
And blows him back a little bit.
Yes! Fantastic. And so I remain in the shadows then, right?
He now knows where you're at. He doesn't see you, per se, because you're in the shadows, but he knows where you are.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. I think I'll just leave it at that, yeah.
Then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Gord is going to run the tree line towards them until he reaches about 30 feet away, take out a javelin, and lob it like he's a pro high school player.
All right.
Of javelin.
Nice.
Gord hanging out in high school.
Yeah, that would be a 22 to hit.
That is going to hit. Which one are you going for?
Probably the one in the middle, kind of the most prominent one.
Okay.
Just that it, like, stabs into him, they all look at me, and I give them the wink.
All right, sounds good. So
ka-chow!
That's a hit. Did you say your damage?
Damage is 9 damage.
All right, 9 damage indeed. Yeah, you lob this thing like a high school track star, and it goes right through his leg and sticks out the other side into the ground, and he screams in pain as he breaks the ends off of your javelin.
Come get it.
And pulls it out. Okay, then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Nevlin's going to produce his little pipe, and kind of Homer Simpson style, he backs into the bushes to our west, and you see the... As he sinks back into the bushes, a little puff of smoke comes out, and there's a slight glow and hum as he casts mage armor on himself while he's Sweet. Hiding in the bush.
Okay, is that going to be your turn?
That's my turn.
And lastly, it's going to be Dario. All
right, well, I rolled a 1 for my stealth anyway, so I run full tilt, jingle-jangling the whole flippin' way. I pulled out my crossbow, so I run 30 feet up to the north, just past and behind Spud. I take a running shot with my crossbow.
All right, roll the hit.
And that's going to be just a straight 10.
Straight 10's not going
to
do it.
Okay, so then I let it go and throw it to the floor, and then I put my hand over the amulet of Mercule as sort of a dark shroud of energy. It's my shield of faith. It's a bonus action,
yep.
So I still got that, and it's like something like that.
Okay, and that's going to be your turn?
Yes.
All right, then it's going to be top of the round, Cornelius.
Okay, so... Nothing triggered my thing, so I'm not going to cast that anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to do something else. I'm going to run up kind of in between Dario and the funnest guy around, Damon. And I fucking hate these guys. I'm pissed off. I haven't had proper time to grieve yet, so I just say fuck it, and I cast Tidal Wave.
What?
Okay. Do you want to read that description out for our fine listeners?
I conjure up a wave of water that crashes down on an area within range. The area can be up to 30 feet long, 10 feet wide, and up to 10 feet tall. Each creature in the area must make a dex save. On a failed save, they take 48 bludgeoning damage and are knocked prone. And successful is half as much damage and not knocked prone.
Okay.
And then if there's like any flames and shit in the area, it would
extinguish them.
And then it just disappears. So.
Okay.
You cast that at a distance?
But you get to decide how big it is, like what the range is.
Yeah, so it's going to be
potentially in range.
No, I would be casting it 1 second here.
So basically, so yeah. starting at the thicket and just like the tidal wave just
crashes down on them.
Okay, so because they have half cover, they're going to get +2 to dex. So what's the DC?
It is DC 15.
So the first one passes with flying colors. Second one passes with not flying colors, but passes. The third one fails, and the fourth one also fails.
Okay.
Oh, damn.
Let's roll up that damage.
8, 10, 16. So two of them take 16 bludgeoning damage and are knocked prone, and the other two take 8 damage bludgeoning.
Okay, so yeah, this tidal wave appears from seemingly nowhere and smashes down into this thicket and right directly into these four Formorian warriors.
Yeah, I needed a drop of water, and I used a single tear.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. And two of these guys are knocked on their ass. The other two managed to stay standing as they took the brunt of the hit. Is that going to be your turn?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. Then it's going to be the second Formorian's turn. He is going to start moving down through the bush towards you, Torque. He comes right down into the trees and sees you, finds you quite easily, and he's going to multi-attack with his great axe. So, the first one, he rolls a 2. So that's going to miss.
Great.
Second one's a 7 plus 5 for 12, which I'm assuming is also a miss.
Super miss.
Yeah, okay. Oh, sorry. He makes 3 attacks.
No!
The third one is a 16 plus 5 for 21 to hit.
Dang, all right.
Okay, and you're going to take 1d12 plus 3 damage.
Okay.
So that's 7 slashing damage to you.
Fine. We got Heroes Feast, baby.
Yeah. And that's going to be his turn. And then it's going to be Spud. And Spud is going to move as close as he can west towards the Formorians yet again.
Get in there, Spud. You can do it.
This time, though, he's going to dash. He won't make it otherwise, but he still has his Searing Smite. So, and he does make it to the Formorians on his turn with his dash. And then right after that, Jarlin is going to have their turn, and she's going to move directly in, and she's going to bite the northernmost Formorian. And we'll just say for shits and giggles that it's cold damage again, because it is the...
Because she's blue.
Because she's the blue drake. So her bite is a 19 plus 3, so 22 to hit, which is a hit, and it will take 1d6 plus 3 piercing damage. Max damage. So 9 damage to the northernmost Formorian as Jarlin crunches into his arm.
Sick.
Okay, and it's going to be that same Formorian's turn, and he is going to multi-attack Spud with his great axe. So the first one is a 5 plus 5 for 10, which is a miss. The second one is an 8 plus 5 for 13, still a miss. And the third one is a 2 plus 5 for 7, which is still a miss. I am rolling like shit.
Wow, so the Formorian just comes like swing,
so swing.
Spud's swing. Small, dexterous, mushroomy ability. He's just kind of like dodging out of the way. That's going to be his turn. Then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, great. Torque, this is so very exciting. Because we're going to attack a lot of times.
Frick yeah.
Torque is going to drop his crossbow, first and foremost. And he's going to pull out his short sword. So with his level up, he now gets an extra attack.
Yeah.
Which I didn't use last round. That's okay. But we're going to use it now. So he pulls out his short sword, so he's going to attack with his just regular old average attack, his first one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a 27.
Oh, yeah, that's a hit.
I thought it might be. And then that, so that's 10 damage. And then his extra attack, he's going to go again with his short sword. And that's a 7, not a 1, thank God. So that's a 15.
Yes, he doesn't have the cover, so that's on his armor class.
Really? Great. All right. Ooh. So that's going to be another 8 damage. So 18 and then 8 damage. We're at. Just, we've got a running tab here because there's going to be, now we're going to burn a key point, another one, and Torque's going to use Flurry of Blows, so he's going to attack twice with his unarmed attack with his Tortle Claws.
Beautiful. So roll the hit on those.
Oh, fuck me. I shouldn't have made that one comment. So the first one is a nat 1.
Okay.
And then the second one is a 19.
The 19 will hit, but let's roll your crit first to see if you...
All right. Oh no, it's a 2.
Okay. 1, 2, 5.
So you're gonna, so you reach the claw at him and you end up slashing your other arm. So
that's so embarrassing when it's your own claws. Like,
yeah. So why don't you go ahead and roll the damage to yourself on that one?
Oh no, it's max damage. So okay, it's 11.
Okay, so take 11. Slashing damage as you slash into your arm.
Okay. That's so embarrassing. Okay, but I get to... the other one hits, right?
The other one does hit, so you can roll damage on that.
God, please be more damage than the damage I just did to myself. Oh, okay, it's 11. Max damage again. To him, not me.
Mm.
Okay.
So that's, 29 damage altogether.
You slash into him hard and relentless, and he does not look good. You have unleashed not only a flurry of blows, but a flurry of slashes, and he has lost so much blood. You are covered in blood, head to toe, like it's insane.
Some of it my own.
Some of it your own, yes.
Great, that's my turn, I guess.
Okie dokes. Then it's going to be the fourth Formorian warrior.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is going to be... fun.
That sounds like some sort of like
should be
Nicolas
movie.
Cage movie where he like tried to really act, like really act, but it's still a B movie.
Or Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Oh, I got this big eye and
maybe
I can't
of
see
them
out of it.
Together.
Co-starring.
What do I do?
But they're the first and second Formorian warriors and they're searching for the fourth. Anyway.
Yeah. So this Formorian warrior is going to stand up for half his movement. And then he has enough to move around to Jarlin, and he's going to multi-attack Jarlin with his great axe.
No.
First one's going to hit. The second one is a
cute little dragon puppy.
A miss. Third one is also a miss. So the first one's going to deal 1d12 plus 3 slashing damage. And that is going to be 8 plus 3 slashing damage for 11 slashing damage total on dear Jarlin.
Oh no, Jarlin!
Jarlin.
If Jarlin dies, does Spud die too?
No.
You wish, Tork.
Unfortunately not, Tork.
Try not to cut yourself.
So that's going to be that Formorian's turn. Then it's going to be Gord Godhand.
Gord shouts out to Tork. You okay in there?
Yeah, it's just like the worst hangnail I've ever had. It's fine.
All right. And I'll pull out my glaive and head around the thistle brush and
thicket thing.
Yeah, and swing at the first thing I see, which is a Fomorian laying on the ground relaxing, and I'm going, bedtime for a nap.
That was one of your best attack lines.
I think that was probably the best Gord Godhand attack line thus far.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so go ahead and roll at advantage.
Yeah. Swinging down with the glaive. That is 21 to hit.
Yeah, you hit for sure. Power hit.
So that would be 10 damage. And then I'll use my bonus action to hit him with the opposite end.
The polearm master shit.
Polearm master shit.
Ah, yeah.
And that is 14.
To hit?
Yeah.
That's not going to do it.
All right. So I do that, and then I take one step away from him, and I do the whole Neo gesture of come and get it. And that's my turn.
All right. Then it's going to be Nevlin in the bushes.
Nevlin in the bushes. That's what the ladies call me. Hey, call me Nevlin over in the bushes there. Hey, what you doing? I caught you 3 times here last week. It's about time you got another hobby. Nevlin's going to step out of the bush and move to the north. Oh, it's full movement. We'll say 30 feet. So he gets a good eye on these 3 Formorians. And with a flourish of his great sleeve, he releases 3 magic missiles, 1 at each of them, respectively.
Okay. Go ahead and roll the damage for that.
First guy takes 4, second one takes 5, third one takes 5.
Nice!
Nice, nice, nice.
Blow, blow, blow!
I do the sound effects, Kyle.
Oh, sorry.
No, but sometimes they seriously use your voice for sound effects.
Oh.
And, pew, pew, pew.
I think actually all use of you those. Have made sound effects that I have used in the sound effects. Kiss. So magic missiles blast through the air and hit each one of these Formorians. Is that going to be your turn?
Yeah, baby.
Okay, and then it's going to be the 3rd Formorian warrior, and he is going to multi-attack Spud with his great axe. That's 8 plus 5, 13 is a miss. That's 15 for 30, 20 for a hit. And that's a natty one on his last hit. So I'm going to roll the damage first. 1d12 plus 3. Spud takes 11 plus 3 for 14 damage.
Oh!
Did he have the hero's feast too?
Yep, he absolutely did.
Do you think he would like pick out the mushrooms in all the meals?
No, I think I think he's a cannibal.
Yeah, he would be. That's exactly what's wrong with him. That's exactly it.
Myconids are inherently cannibals. They
he's
love
a
eating mushrooms.
Cannibal. What
especially ones that talk.
No!
Brutal!
Please don't eat me!
You're too small to resist. Nom, 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 nom.
Fantasy worlds are so fucked up. So Spud takes 13 damage, and then he's going to roll his 1d6. 3, 4, hit the floor. So this motherfucker, on his last swipe, his foot gets stuck in a thicket. He falls prone. He was already prone, and I forgot to say he gets up with half his movement. So he got up with half his movement at the beginning of his turn, then he falls back down prone at the end of his turn. So he's still prone. And then it's going to be Dario's turn.
Okay, I start running west, about 30 feet, but off to the right, as I kind of strafe in and around. I come over to sort of halfway over to the Drake, and I'll pull out my shield at that time. I don't have a weapon in my hand, but I can only do like one item at a time, so I'm like running, pulling my shield, and then I'll grab the Amulet of Mercule again. And this time I'll call upon the Scythe of Mercule to materialize just off to the right of the Formorian and to the right of the Drake, but just ahead.
Okay.
Sorry. Jarlin, 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 Jarlin. I'm going to put my spirit weapon to your right. And so I think you create it. It lasts for the duration, and you can make a melee spell attack against a creature. And so I will do just that. So Mercule's power, it materializes into a deadly scythe, and it swings through the air. Yes. This is actually pretty good, I think. 17?
That's going to hit.
Yes.
That's at advantage as well.
Oh, it's at advantage. Well, I'll roll it for fun.
Because he's prone.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to accept a 1, so I'll take what I rolled originally. So it comes down, and all that magical force damage slashes into his body, and it does sick damage. Does 10 damage.
Wow. Yeah, slashes into him, releases the blood as it starts to flow.
Yes, yes. Okay, now I'm done.
Damn.
You're done? So next is going to be top of the round, Cornelius.
Okay, so shit. I was really hoping my tidal wave was going to do something cooler than that, but it looked cool anyways. At least to me, it looked really cool in my head. But I'm going to yell, Damon, I apologize in advance.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to shoot ice knife at... the middle Formorian.
Okay, so the one in the center.
The one in the center there. That's going to be a lot. That's going to be like 26.
Nice. Okay, that's a hit.
Okay, so this first guy is going to take only 3 piercing damage, and then everyone within 5 feet needs to make a dex save.
Okay.
Or they'll take 2d6 cold damage as this motherfucker explodes.
Start with Jarlene. She's going to take that cold damage. Wait, but she's got immunity to cold damage, so she won't take shit.
DC 15.
Spud rolls a 1, so he'll take that cold damage.
Shit.
then the northernmost Formorian, 18, passes. Colors. Second one's a 9 plus 3 for a 13. Will fail. And the last one gets a 19 plus 3 for 22.
So the ones that failed take only 4 cold damage.
Okay.
And then I'm going to run up behind the drink.
Charlene.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and that's going to be your turn?
That tis.
All right, then it's going to be the second Formorian's turn. Down near you, Torque. So he's going to come at you again with his 3 multi-attacks.
Okay.
First one's a 6 plus 5 for a miss. Second one is a 9 plus 5 for 14. It's a miss.
Yeah.
And the third one is 11 plus 5 for 16.
No, it's not.
Okay, well, he misses with all 3 hits. He swings once, twice, and 3 times at you.
Even more embarrassing than my hangnail.
Yeah. That's pretty sick, actually.
Something that's not going to be embarrassing, or might embarrass Torque, is that it's going to be Spud's turn next. And so Spud had cast Searing Smite. This spell, the next time you hit a creature with a melee weapon attack during the spell's duration, your weapon flares with white-hot intensity, and the attack deals an extra 1d6 fire damage on the target and causes the target to ignite in flames. At the start of each of its turns until the spell ends, the target must make a constitution saving throw. On a failed save, it takes 1d6 fire damage. On a successful save, the spell ends. If the target is within 5 feet of it and uses an action to put out the flames or some other effect, douses the flames.
Okay.
So it can, other Formarians can put out the flames if they want, but they're angry, so they probably won't. But anyway, so his first attack is going to be with that added Searing Smite. So I'm going to roll the hit on that.
Did you just blow in the dice?
I did just blow in the dice.
He's nervous. He's nervous about the shitty rolls he's been having today.
I have been having shitty rolls. That was a good roll, though. It was a 17 plus 6. I think it's 6.
Oh, that was really good.
It's gonna be a Scorched Morian.
Oh, I should have.
Oh,
it's plus 7.
That was
so, yeah,
mediocre. Don't laugh too much.
Hella hit.
I didn't laugh.
So this Formorian's gonna take 1d6 plus 4 slashing damage. Max damage, so it takes 10 damage out the gate, plus another 6 fire damage. Max fire damage. I like this dice. Shit. I'm gonna use that one from now on. It's on the top of my little dice coffin. So it's going to take max damage on both of those, so that's going to be a total of 16 damage, and the motherfucker lights on fire. But with that, Spud, now level 5, will now make his extra attack. So he will attack once more with his short sword, and that's going to be a 13 plus 7 for dirty 20, which is going to hit, and another 1d6 plus 4 damage. Only a 1 damage. 1 rolled plus 4 for 5 damage. And this Formorian is now on fire and bleeding from pretty much every limb on his body. It is then going to be his turn, and it is going to make its constitution saving throw. So it rolled a 6 plus 2 for 8, which is a fail. So it's going to take an additional 1d6 fire damage.
Oh, dang.
For 5 fire damage. Ugh. Yeah, he's not looking hot, but he's still going to try and multi-attack.
He's looking very hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's burning hot.
He's piping hot.
He has his greatsword ready, and he comes at Spud. The first one's a 16 plus 5 for 21 to hit. The second one's a 15 plus 5 for a dirty 20 to hit. And the third one is a 13 plus 5 for an 18, which does hit as well. So Spud's going to take 3d6 plus 9 damage. 3d12 plus 9 damage.
Holy fuck.
Oh, he's getting smashed.
Yeah.
He's getting sauteed.
Shitty rolls still going strong. So that's going to be 8, 9, 10, 11 plus 9. So 20 damage to Spud in total.
Is he knocked out?
No. He's doing good still.
Really?
He got like 18 on his hero feast. So with his hero feast, he had 65 HP.
What? That's wild.
65.
Yes, he's got 47 hit points.
Normally?
Yeah.
He has more HP than me?
And me.
And me.
And me.
And my axe.
You're not the only one, Tork. We're all jealous.
Rangers have a D10 for their hit die. So yeah, he comes at Spud hard and slashes into his mushroom flesh, oozing out a little bit of spores, start puffing out and stuff.
I'm oozing spores.
I'm losing spores. By due chance, they are escaping.
My fleshy little body.
Then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, well, Torque's just simply going to kill the Fomorian in front of him.
Roll to kill.
Torque rolled for his short sword, and it's an 18.
That's going to hit.
Okay, bitchin'. So that's gonna be 10 damage to start.
You slash into him and he takes a pretty massive hit of damage.
Torque will use his extra attack and that's a 14 to hit.
That's not gonna hit.
We're gonna burn another key point and use Flurry of Blows for 2 unarmed attacks.
Okay.
Damn it! Fuck! Okay, the first one is a 10.
That's a miss.
And then the second one is a 24.
That's a hit.
Okay, great. Damn it. 6 damage.
So close.
Damn it!
Yeah, you slash into this guy and he immediately goes pale. His neck goes limp as his head kind of drops down and he's looking at you, kind of swaying back and forth, bleeding very, very badly.
If only I had 5 attacks.
And is that going to be your turn then?
Yeah, that's my turn.
Well, it was a good one. Then it's going to be the fourth Morian's turn.
fourth Morian Warrior.
He is going to attack Jarlin again 3 times. The first roll is a 5. Plus 5 is a miss. 11 plus 5 for 16 is a miss. An 11 plus 5 for 16 is also a miss. Jarlin just like dodges out of the way as he attacks once, twice, and 3 times. And then it's going to be Gord Godhand's turn.
Gord is going to move forward, take his regular attack with Reckless. Actually, he doesn't need to because the guy's prone. And that's a nat 20 for the first attack.
Yeah. Finally.
So that would be... 14, 19 damage on the first attack.
Okay, yeah, you slash into him viciously with this glaive, and you tear directly across his chest and right at the top of his abdomen, and you can see one of his large intestines just kind of pop out as the blood comes out with it. Lots of viscera.
And with the bonus action, I'll try and pop it back in with the opposite side.
Ew!
This is gonna be so good.
And that's a 16?
Yeah, that's a hit.
Excellent.
So gross.
That's only 6 damage.
So you slash into him and then you flip your glaive around, and as you connect with that large intestine, your glaive goes directly into his abdomen and into his guts, and you just like rupture his stomach and his fucking intestine lines as the entirety of his digestive system is just completely blown with a bludgeoning hit from your glaive, and he drops to the ground to his knees and then falls forward into the thicket and then starts bleeding out of his wound and dies.
Excellent.
Hardcore.
And then I'll whistle at the one attacking Damon, and I'll be like, you're next.
I see what you're doing.
Okay. Then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
All right. Being that this all takes place within 6 seconds, having just flung his 3 magic missiles, Nevlin spins around and sort of comes to a rest almost on one leg as he just starts madly twirling his other arm around in the air. And from that sleeve, the opposite of his magic missile sleeve, comes 3 scorching rays. One of them's going to be directed at the best-looking chap of the bunch. And 2... No, sorry, that's the opposite. I'll shoot one at whoever looks the worst off, and 2 at the
I thought you meant the most looking. Handsome. Oh my god, actually
the cutest looking for Mario.
It's like the best looking one.
So yeah,
pretty hot.
Rolled a hit on those.
The single hit first. Oh, that's an 11.
That's not gonna do it.
Negative 17 on the next.
17 will hit.
And a 22.
A 22 will also hit. Smashy smash.
Convenient. So it's gonna be 4d6 fire damage on that one guy.
All right.
Damn. 14 total.
Still nice, yeah. So out of your ray robes, these rays come flying out and smash directly into the Formorian that's standing in front of Spud, who is already on fire. He takes two more fiery hits and is starting to look like burnt. You can see his face is starting to crisp up and he's not looking hot anymore. He was the best looking of the bunch and now he's badly burnt.
I wanted to destroy something beautiful.
Oh, shit.
That was deep.
All right. Is that going to be your turn? And then it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right. After running off to the north, just to the right of everybody, then I kind of make like a deking football move, and I run back to the south and sort of 10 feet in behind Spud. And then I grab the amulet of Mercule, and I go,
Mercule, give me the power to transfer some of my life to this poor mushroom man.
And I spill forth my own life force. It's called life transference.
Okay.
It's a third level spell, divine spell, necromancy. You sacrifice some of your health to mend another creature's injuries. You take 4d8 necrotic damage. One creature of your choice that you can see within range regains the number of hit points equal to twice the necrotic damage you take.
Wow.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's cool.
So I'm going to roll 4d8.
That's the biggest ass kiss spell ever.
So I take 14 damage and I give him 28 hit points. As you see, like, tendrils of my life force are forced from my body, and they kind of fly out.
I look over at you, and I'm like, did you learn that this morning?
Mercule has given me many new blessings. It hurts so bad.
Fuck yeah, Mercule, man. Yeah.
All right. Is that going to be your turn?
And yeah, that'll be my... Oh, sorry. And the spiritual weapon. We'll take another slash at that dude on the right.
All right, roll the hit.
That's more like a 6 plus 5 is only 11. It does not hit.
Okay. All right, with that, it's going to be top of the round, Cornelius.
And after I yell that over to, well, I guess I more say it, Dario's pretty close. I look past Dario at Nevlin and I give him a wink and I turn around and I cast Scorching Ray. I see what he was doing there, so I do the same thing. Whoever's looking worse for wear,
takes burn one. The crap out.
Yeah, okay.
So the first guy is going to take a 13 and a 24.
13 misses, 24 hits.
Okay. Yeah, so it's going to be 7 damage for the one.
Okay.
And then on the other target, that will be 19 to hit.
That's a hit.
With 5 damage.
All right. Yeah, three more of these scorching rays come ripping from from the east. This time from Cornelius. One of them flies by the both of them, and each one of them take a massive fire hit. And two of them still stand, though.
I'm going to hop back about 20 feet.
Okay.
And that'll be my turn.
That's your turn. All right, then it's going to be Spud's turn. And Spud is going to look directly at the guy in front of him again, and he's going to be like, this ends now. And he is going to roll to attack. It's a 15 plus 7 for 22 to hit. That will be 1d6 plus 4 damage.
That's Spud, guys.
4 and 8. And
he's doing good.
Buddy takes 8 damage and he slashes into him. And that's not enough, so Spud goes again. And that's going to be a 9 plus 7 for 16 for a hit. And he is going to take another 1d6 plus 4 damage. That's 5 plus 4 for 9 damage as Spud just like rips his sword around his head a couple times and then just like...
Wait. How long are his arms and how big is his head?
Don't worry about it. He slices directly into the neck of this Formorian and decapitates him. And the body, fire and all, drops to the ground dead.
Damn.
Good work, Damon.
The adventures of Spud and those other guys.
I almost killed this guy, too.
You're working
Thark
on it.
Was good.
Well, it's your turn next, so you have a shot here.
Well, this ends now.
We all hear this come from the bush.
Just beyond the thicket.
Fuck yeah, buddy.
Okay, it's an 18.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Okay, he's just gonna plunge his short sword right the heck into him. 8 damage?
Yeah. Yeah. How do you do it?
Yes! He's firstly going to cut off all of this guy's fingernails because he's really bitter about the hangnail incident.
He's gonna shrink
it. That got dark really fast.
I lost all my fingernails.
Like you're in the middle of battle and in 6 seconds rip off someone's fingernails.
No. Okay, so he's just really fired up at just watching Spud killing this guy, so he just brings his short sword above his head and he just hacks down and he probably gets him in the shoulder or something, but it goes real deep.
Yeah, it cleaves directly in between his neck and shoulder and drops down in 10 inches to the point where your sword is almost stuck. And then when you pull it out, there's a big squirt of blood.
And, oh, here, I can give you this freebie too. Hold on.
Nice.
I'll use it.
Pretty good.
Is that going to be your turn?
Is there one Formorian left?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see here. Tork is going to drop his short sword, and then he's going to pick up his crossbow at his feet, and then he's going to use part of his movement to just come up out of the trees, just kind of beside where Gord is. And he's going to use his crossbow to shoot at the last Formorian. That would be the name of a movie, The Last Formorian.
You're using your extra attack for that.
Yes, please. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I'll allow it. Fire away.
So it's a 21 to hit.
That's a hit.
Cool. Oh, max damage, so that's 13.
This bolt is in the middle of his head as he drops to the ground dead.
Yes!
So you iced one dude, ran over and shot another guy.
That's the coolest thing. Tork is later going to smoke his pipe and this is going to...
Have a remembrance.
Sure, yeah, this is what's going to pop up for sure.
Hey, good shot there, Tork.
Thanks, Gord.
Wow, Tork, you're way better than Spud here.
Go on.
No, that's it.
That was some good loitering.
So we're out of initiative now.
I'm going to search the bodies.
Yeah, I'm going to search to see if they have any information.
Tork's going to grab his short sword.
What were they doing there?
And then I'm going to slit all their throats, the ones that still have throats to be slit.
Okay.
Wow. Hardcore.
I do not like these guys.
You find studded leather armor on all of them that they're wearing.
Turn it into
also, they all carry basic great axes. And you find, between the four of them, you find 27 gold pieces. And that's about it.
While they're pilfering around those bodies and such and taking a look at stuff, I'm going to go up to the rock and the trees that those Formorians were looking at.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll head up there too.
You get to the trees and they do appear to be some kind of golden wood.
Guys, someone should grab an axe. We should cut this down.
Make a canoe.
Actually, no, they do look pretty sacred.
They definitely are. And the boulder is there as well. There are hieroglyphs on the wall that are telling some sort of story in regards to some kind of knight that you can see that's depicted quite a few times in this hieroglyph. And these trees are called the Golden Trees of Valor, and the stone in the middle is called the Stone of Strength. And if you were to actually roll me an intelligence check, Dario.
Is there a language that I can discern? Elvish, maybe?
It is Elven.
I do happen to know Elven for being
half-elfin myself.
What was your intelligence roll, though?
15.
You can straight up put two and two together and realize that this tale that you can read that's on the wall, it's all pictures, though. It's not in elven, but you can see it's of elven dialect or style. And yeah, you can see that these two trees were planted in his honor, rare seeds that grow golden leaves.
This night?
This entire area is sacred. Yeah, the knight. He was a valiant knight and also very strong. And so the stone was put in place, said to be something that he lifted in battle or something along those lines.
Oh, so we are at the presence of some great elven hero. I think he was buried here. This is an effigy to him.
Yeah, and that entrance is supposed to be around here somewhere, too.
Oh, yeah. Do you think it's under the rock?
Check it out.
I'm pretty strong. I just killed two guys, and I bet you I could still lift this rock over my head.
Tork, you're strong as all get out. You should give it a try.
Roll me a...
You better say strength check.
Yeah, sure. Roll me a strength check. Roll me a strength check. It's going to be a stupid high DC, though.
Do you want any help with that, Tork?
I mean, normally I would be a little egotistical and say no, but I'm going to say yes.
Gord, how about step up here? You got this.
Yeah, I'll give it a try.
I mean, I feel kind of bad that we're desecrating this, but, you know.
Well, he's dead. He'll never know.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to be... shit. It's only a 19.
19's not going to do it. You try to lift, but you're struggling so hard, and you almost like, blow out your colon trying to lift this thing.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's heavy.
Okay, but maybe Gord helps me.
You're supposed to roll that advantage. Why don't you roll that, Sid, on your side of things?
That's a 21.
Still doesn't do it. You almost blow out your colon, too.
All right, you weaklings. Let me get in there.
No, Nevlin, you'll
step
definitely
aside,
blow out your colon.
Nevlin, roll a perception check, please.
Oh, shit.
Time lapse to prolapse.
What was
it's actually
it?
A 4 total.
4 total?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Nevlin blows out his colon.
Nevlin, when you walk
up. Oh my god, guys, those tacos were so bad.
Oh, Cornelius, you're there too. Now, Cornelius, roll me a perception check as well, please.
Perception check?
Right.
Roll a colon check?
You find your colon on the ground. 22.
You perceive your colon.
Okay, so
ground.
Cornelius, you watch these guys almost blow out their colons. And
dang.
You look just over the top of the rock, and you look back at them as they're almost blowing out their colons, and you're like, yo, there's like a big bush right there that doesn't look like it's supposed to be there, guys.
Is that what I say?
Well, you can say it however you want, but that's what happens.
Oi, there's supposed to be a little thing over there.
It's right behind that bush, Gav.
I inform the party of the information I've learned from the Dungeon Master.
There's a bush over there, Cornelius?
But it's not supposed to be there.
the one that the queen said that they put in place behind the boulder between the two trees?
Guys, the bush the queen told us about back in Senelis?
Oh, yes.
It's hidden. You think I should try and lift
golden
up
the trees? Bush? Yes, Tork, let's lift up the bush. I'll assist you.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to go check the bush.
Okay, so you go and check the bush. And so between the golden trees of valor rests the boulder of strength. And as you peer behind the boulder, a space between is crowded with a thick brush. Do you try and move the brush aside?
Yes, I brush it aside.
Okay, you brush the brush aside. And there appears to be a small hole in the ground, big enough for a large creature to fit through.
That would be me.
That's a big hole.
How do you proceed?
That hole looks small enough for something pretty big to fit through.
Yeah. All right, jabronis, let's get in there.
Make sure that everybody has everything. Tork, do you have everything? You didn't drop anything on the way in?
I already picked up my short sword, thank you very much.
Just making sure.
Wait, thank right, you. Sorry, I have to run back. I run back and pick up my crossbow. and then I run all the way back, it's awkward.
Everybody starts running back onto the
floor. Oh, right, I forgot.
I'll go in first. I have experience with holes in the ground.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't want to assume, but I knew it.
Okay, so you go down first, Cornelius, and as you drop down into the hole, you land on what looks to be an old staircase.
That's the same size as an old staircase.
Leading down to the depths below.
Leading down to the depths below.
As you move lower into the depths of the earth, you see the mouth of an endless cavern filled with glowing mushrooms and plant life emanating small amounts of light. At this point, I'd assume that you guys are all down in the hole.
Yeah.
I'll follow him.
I'll be the last person to go down.
Okay.
Gord, don't forget to cover the hole.
Yeah, okay, guys.
We don't want anyone to spill in or spill out.
Okay, so you jump down and you kind of cover, you grab the brush behind you as you jump down and drop down into the
this
hole.
This bush should cover it.
The bush covers it greatly. So
you see the mouth of an endless cavern filled with glowing mushrooms and plant life emanating small amounts of life. All else is shrouded in darkness. As you near the end of the stairs, you come to a large landing that seems to be connected to several chambers and a tunnel off in the distance. Just as you look toward the tunnel, two massive cave trolls, torches in hand, come through the entrance, followed by a garrison of Fomorian warriors.
What's your guys' passive perceptions?
17.
13.
I got 15.
Okay.
Before you can react, you all feel a cold hand cover your mouth as you're pulled back into one of the chambers. Quietly, the owner of the hand over Cornelius's mouth says, I don't know who you are or who sent you here, but you'd be wise to keep quiet and come with us.
And that's where we're ending the session.
David Hayter?
Nice.